Hello, Florida. Thank you to Commissioner Putnam, my friend of so many years. I'm delighted to be here. Just 24 days away from when we will re-elect Senator Marco Rubio to the United States Senate, and we'll elect Donald Trump as the next president of the United States of America. Senator Rubio, it's great to see you. Wonderful to see you out tonight. Good to be with so many great Floridians. Karen and I were in Miami last night and Pensacola just earlier in the day. And we just sensed the energy all across this state. But it's a joy to be with Marco because we've become friends. I told him there was only one decision he ever made in his life I disagreed with. But fortunately, he reversed that and is running for re-election to the United States Senate, which is right where we need him in America today. Adam Putnam is my friend of many years, and I appreciated that warm introduction, but Adam knows me well enough to know that the introduction I prefer is a little bit shorter. I'm a Christian, a conservative, and a Republican, in that order. And it's amazing to me and my wife to think of the opportunity that our little family's been extended. You know, my grandfather immigrated to this country. My mom and dad built a small business and a family and a good name in a small town in southern Indiana. But to be standing before all of you good people today, having been given the opportunity to run and serve as the next Vice President of the United States of America is an incredible honor and deeply humbling. I will tell you that Adam was kind enough to mention we had a little debate in Farmville, Virginia the other day against my counterpart on the Democrat ticket. And some people think I won that debate. I'll leave that decision to others. But I did want to apologize for being a few minutes late tonight. I was backstage getting ready to come out, and Tim Kaine called and interrupted me 5 times. But to be honest with you about that debate, I actually don't think I won that debate. I frankly think Donald Trump won that debate. I think Donald Trump's vision to make America great again won that debate. And I think an agenda for a more prosperous and stronger America is going to win all the way to the White House by November the 8th. I got to tell you, I joined this campaign in a heartbeat because you have nominated a man for president who never quits, who never backs down. He is a fighter. He is a winner. And it seemed like for a long time he was out there fighting all on his own. But as I travel this country, I can see this party is coming together. This movement is coming together. And I believe we're going to make Donald Trump the 45th president of the United States of America. You know, because the reality is this election is not so much a choice between two people. It's really a choice between two futures. And I would submit to you, I choose a stronger America. I choose a more prosperous America. I choose an America that cherishes our Constitution and our highest ideals. And so I choose to stand with Donald Trump and every American who believes in a brighter and stronger future. That really is amazing. At the very moment that our country is crying out for something new and different, the other party is answered with a stale agenda and the most predictable of names. People, frankly, in both political parties are restless for change, ready to break free from the old patterns in Washington, D.C., and the Democrats have literally nominated someone who personifies the failed status quo in our nation's capital. So as we start our conversation tonight, Florida, let me ask you, let's not relent, let's not rest in the next 24 days until we do our part here in the great state of Florida to ensure that Hillary Clinton is never elected president of the United States of America. I mean, the case against Hillary Clinton could take us all night, but I want to breeze through some of it for you tonight. I think it's important for us to pay more careful attention to what we already know and understand the magnitude of the choice that we as Americans face in 24 days. We all know the story of Hillary Clinton while she was Secretary of State. Her family had a private family foundation. While she was in charge of all the foreign policy of the United States of America as our third-ranking constitutional officer, Hillary Clinton's family foundation actually accepted contributions from foreign governments and foreign millionaires, and then had a server that even the New York Times discovered betwixt and between those things so that communications about all that could not be subject to public disclosure. But thanks to some diligent efforts by third-party groups and thanks to lots of WikiLeaks, we've been finding out more and more every day. More information even came out today with the release of FBI documents, but I mean, it really is amazing just to recount some of it. We learn from emails with her campaign chairman of a tremendous intolerance toward people of faith, toward Catholics and evangelicals, spoken of with such demeaning contempt. We actually learned that Hillary Clinton's campaign was in communication with the Obama Department of Justice about her own email investigation. And even though Hillary Clinton told us all that there was never any decision made in the State Department relative to contributions to her foundation or their wider circle of supporters, we learned just last week that while she was Secretary of State in the aftermath of that horrendous earthquake in Haiti in 2010, aides to Hillary Clinton at the State Department directed the officials in the State Department to flag contracts for reconstruction in Haiti to friends of the Clintons. Every other business would have to go to the website. In the midst of all of that, we learned that about her efforts using high technology and hammers to destroy access to those emails. You know, men and women, I'm old enough to remember a president who deleted 18 and a half minutes of audio tape and they ran him out of town. Hillary Clinton used high technology to delete nearly 18,000 emails and needs to be held to account. You know, that doesn't sound like politics to me. That sounds like obstruction. And the whole relationship between the foundation and her years in State Department is exactly the kind of pay-to-play politics that's going to come to a crashing end the day that Donald Trump becomes president of the United States of America. You know, in the midst of the avalanche of hard evidence coming out, demonstrating the corruption, political favoritism, and deceit of the Clinton years, in the midst of the willful ignorance of the national media about Hillary's activities, and in the midst of what's become daily attacks on my running mate, it's probably fairly easy to lose sight of the fact that this election is really about big things. And I want to talk to you about those tonight in the little time that we have together. Because I think despite the avalanche of insults coming out of the other party and the other campaign, I think this election is really, it's really about security. It's about prosperity. And it's about the highest court in the land. And we need to talk to our neighbors about the stakes in this election. On the security front, despite traveling millions of miles as our Secretary of State, it's undeniable. The world is more dangerous today than the day that Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton took office. Our allies are less secure, our enemies are more emboldened. 7.5 years of Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton's policies have weakened America's place in the world. Terrorist attacks at home and abroad, grim and heartbreaking scenes in our allies, and horrific attacks inspired here in your beloved Florida and in other places around America. You know, history teaches us that weakness arouses evil. And I have long said that Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama's foreign policy of leading from behind, of moving red lines, is emblematic of a weak and feckless foreign policy. But you need look no further, believe it or not, of the words today of President Hollande of France. Just broke in the news today. According to the Wall Street Journal, the French president said in an interview that it was President Obama's decision not to retaliate against the Syrian government in 2013 for using chemical weapons crossing that red line that encouraged and emboldened Russia's incursion into Ukraine and Crimea and its new relationship with Syria. For the world to be safe, America needs to be strong. And when Donald Trump becomes president of the United States of America, America will once again lead with American strength on the world stage. We will say what we mean and mean what we say, and we will back it up with American strength. Now, specifically on foreign policy, it's so important to know, it was Hillary Clinton who initiated that disastrous agreement with the radical mullahs in Iran. $150 billion to the largest state sponsor of terrorism in the world, including $400 million in cash that was delivered on a pallet the day that four American hostages were leased as a payment in ransom. I remember when I was working in Congress with Congressman Putnam and Senator Rubio, we worked together to put punitive economic measures on Iran, and the deal was that they would not be lifted until Iran permanently abandoned its nuclear ambitions. But this administration, with the full support of Hillary Clinton, managed to cut a deal with Iran that simply delays their nuclear ambitions. It was Hillary Clinton who failed to negotiate a status of forces agreement in Iraq that would have allowed us to have additional American forces remain to preserve what the American soldier had won. It's incredible to think about it. Now, I was there in the Congress and watched from afar the hard-fought gains of the American soldier. Whatever you thought about the decision to go into Iraq, through the surge in early 2007 and beyond, the American soldier won the peace and won security in Operation Iraqi Freedom by 2009. In fact, before I go on, I expect there are some men and women who are with us today who have worn the uniform in recent years or even farther back. Would you all mind standing up or raising a hand and just let us show how much we appreciate those of you that have worn the uniform of this nation to protect our freedom? The American soldier won the peace in Iraq. Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama squandered it. And in the wake of their failure, the terrorist organization ISIS was literally conjured up out of the desert to overrun vast areas that had been won by the soldier. And lastly, it was Hillary Clinton. It was Hillary Clinton who left Americans in harm's way in Benghazi. And after four Americans fell, she told their families that it was caused by a filmmaker. When in fact Congress would find out that she knew on the night of the attack that it was a result of a terrorist-style al-Qaeda attack. When she was testifying before the Senate, Hillary Clinton said words that ring ignominiously into history. Of those four fallen Americans, she said, quote, "What difference at this point does it make?" Well, as the proud father of a United States Marine, let me say this. Anyone who said that, anyone who did that, should be disqualified from ever serving as Commander-in-Chief of the Armed Forces of the United States of America. We cannot have four more years apologizing to our enemies and abandoning our friends. America needs to be strong for the world to be safe, and Donald Trump will lead on the world stage with American strength. We will rebuild our military. We will restore the arsenal of democracy. We will ensure that our soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marine have the resources and the training to accomplish their mission and come home safe, and we will hunt down and destroy ISIS at its source, so it can no longer threaten our people or inspire violence in the homeland. So this election is about security, but it's also about prosperity. Ladies and gentlemen, in Florida, I can tell you, my friend Rick Scott, who is a great governor, by the way, a million jobs plus. How does that make me feel in Indiana? He's a tough competitor, and we love competing. The truth is, Rick will tell you what I'll tell you back in the Hoosier State. Any progress we've made in the last 7.5 years has been in spite of what's coming out of Washington, D.C., and not because of it. We're in the midst of the weakest economic recovery since the Great Depression. We have the lowest labor participation rate since the 1970s. There's millions more Americans living in poverty today than the day that Barack Obama took office. Hillary Clinton's plan, more of the same. More taxes, more regulation, more spending, more Obamacare, more of the same policies that have been driving American jobs out of our country and off our shores. You know, they tell us this economy is the best that we can do. But the people of Florida know better. It's not the best we can do. It's just the best they can do. And when Donald Trump becomes president of the United States of America, we're going to put common sense, conservative principles into practice and get this economy moving again for every American. We're going to do just what Governor Scott has done here in Florida. Donald Trump has a plan. We're going to work with a reelected majority in the House and in the Senate. And right out of the gate, we're going to cut taxes across the board for working families, small businesses, and family farms. Unlike Hillary Clinton, who wants to raise taxes by $1 trillion, we're going to lower to 3 marginal income tax rates, we're going to eliminate estate taxes, and we're going to lower the business tax rate in America to 15% so companies here in Florida can compete and keep jobs here in the Sunshine State. And because regulation is a form of taxation, and business owners in the room, men and women, know that avalanche of acronyms coming out of Washington, D.C. has been stifling our growth. You know what I'm talking about, the EPA, the OSHA, the DOE, the ABCDEFG. Day one of the Trump-Pence administration, Donald Trump's going to sign a moratorium on any new federal regulation, and we're going to repeal every single Obama executive order that is stifling growth and jobs in the American economy. And Donald Trump and I both know that among the God-given blessings, among the God-given blessings of this nation are our vast natural resources. So the war on coal will end. The day that Donald Trump becomes president of the United States, we're going to develop an all-of-the-above energy strategy. We're going to develop the resources of our land and call forth its power. And lastly, when I think of the greatest hindrance to growth in America today, actually happened on our watch when we were in Washington, D.C. We fought hard against it under this administration, but it became law. But it's picking up some unusual opposition. I don't know if you heard about this, but the Democrat governor of Minnesota actually just announced that Obamacare was a failure. And former President Bill Clinton actually called it the craziest thing in the world. You know, I guess sometimes, even with the Clintons, truth happens. So I'm going to tell you what. And Senator, we know that Congress convenes before the new president's inaugurated, so if you want to go ahead and get that bill on our desk, we're going to repeal Obamacare lock, stock, and barrel. We're going to replace it with the kind of health care reform that'll lower the cost of health insurance without growing the size of government. You know, Hillary Clinton just the other day, all these different paid speeches, I don't know if you heard, she gave a paid speech in Brazil where she said her dream was open borders. She gave a paid speech in Canada where she said she wanted a healthcare system like the Canadian system. Well, Hillary, that's socialized medicine, and we don't want socialized medicine in America. We want to meet the healthcare needs of the American people with the free market, and we'll do it the American way and reject the failed policies to the North and to Europe. So it's about security, it's about prosperity, but it's about an issue that may be of even greater magnitude than those when you think of the potential generational impact. You know, we're electing a president for the next 4 years, but it's important you tell your neighbors and friends, if you cherish the Constitution, if you cherish the limited government enshrined there, if you cherish the God-given liberties in the Bill of Rights. And you need to remember that the next president will serve 4 years, but will likely set the course and direction of the Supreme Court of the United States for the next 40 years. And we better think long and hard about that. I mean, elect Hillary Clinton as your next president, you better get used to more unelected judges using unaccountable power to take unconstitutional actions. But elect Donald Trump as your next president of the United States. And with a majority in the United States Senate, he will appoint conservative justices to the Supreme Court and to every federal court in the land in the tradition of the late and great Justice Antonin Scalia. Not legislating from the bench. Did you hear Hillary the other night in that debate when she was asked what she was looking for in appointments to the court? She had a to-do list she went through. Well, Donald Trump's going to make sure that we appoint strict constructionists to the court. So I'm going to say to you, for the sake of the rule of law, if you cherish the sanctity of life, if you cherish the Second Amendment to the Constitution of the United States of America, if you cherish all the God-given liberties enshrined there, and the principles of limited government, then men and women in Florida, we must decide here and now that the next president to make appointments to the Supreme Court of the United States will be President Donald Trump. With this, I'll close. I hope you leave here tonight well fed. And not just at the dinner table. I hope you leave here tonight enlivened. I mean, Florida always plays an enormously important role in the nation's destiny. We all know that. And we admire the way Floridians roll their sleeves up, and Republicans in Florida have done your part again and again in the nation's decisions. But this year, it may be even more important than ever before. I mean, the truth of the matter is, ever since I joined this campaign, it's pretty obvious the media out there is doing half of Hillary Clinton's work for her every day. All right? It's true. But the amazing thing is Donald Trump is winning hearts and minds every day, and he's going to continue to win the fight all the way to the White House. But it's going to take you all to do it. I think the reason why you see the enormous crowds that you've seen in Florida. He was up in New Hampshire today. Another record crowd turned out. And even as I campaign around the country for him, you know, we'll have 500 or 1,000 people to come out to support our team when it's just me. It's because, I mean, it's kind of a big deal to me. I was like, I mean, I know I'm a B-list Republican celebrity. I mean, so, you know, it's, thank you very much. But the one thing Donald says to me all the time, more than anything else when we're campaigning together, he says, Mike, remember, this is not about me. This is not about us. This is a movement, he says. This is a movement of the American people who know we can be stronger at home and abroad, who know we can be more prosperous, who know we can stand on our constitutional principles that made this nation great. In short, it's a movement of the American people who know we can make America great again. And that movement is going to carry forward, despite the opposition. But you got to go tell somebody. You got to go tell somebody. Leave here tonight hearing from me and hearing from all these other great speakers and go tell somebody. Say, you know, I ran into Mike the other day and he was reminding me what this is all about. Okay? You know? And remind him that it's not about, you know, sometimes I get up every morning, I got to turn on the television with a stick. I don't even know what's going to be there. You with me on that? I got a couple amens right over here. The truth of the matter is, my wife and I said yes to this campaign in a heartbeat because I think this country's in a lot of trouble. I mean, honestly, I'm sure this never happens in Florida, but sometimes in Indiana, there's not a dime's worth of difference between the candidates that we put up and the other party puts up. That never happens here, right? Right. I mean, really. I mean, sometimes voters go and say, well, if we get our person in, it'll be this much better, and if the other person gets in, it'll probably still be about that good, right? This is not such a time. I want to submit to you, as Ronald Reagan said in 1964. This isn't a choice between Republican or Democrat. It isn't a choice between left or right. I want you to go tell your neighbors and friends that you heard me say, I think this is a choice between up or down. This is a choice between whether we're going to continue, whether we're going to continue to go downhill with the policies that have weakened America's place in the world, stifled America's economy, walked away from our most cherished traditions and our highest ideals in public life, or whether we as a people are going to stop, turn our face like flint against the wind, plant our feet and turn around and march back up the hill to a stronger and more prosperous America built on our most cherished constitutional ideals. That's the choice that we have, Florida. And you just got to decide. You just got to decide you're going to go tell somebody and lay it out that way. We got 24 days to get this thing turned around. 74% of the people of this country think this country's headed in the wrong direction, which makes me think, what in the world are those other 26% thinking? I mean, the truth is, we all know that we need change. But it's not going to come by electing the same people with the same bad ideas. It's going to require us to elect a new administration in Washington, D.C. that'll put those time-honored, common-sense conservative principles into practice. It's going to take us re-electing Republican majorities in the United States Senate and the House of Representatives that'll partner with that administration, and having an administration that can confirm appointments to the court that'll hold up our ideals. And so I need you to go tell somebody that. And the last thing I'd encourage you to do, that in these challenging times, these times of such great division and contention, I just encourage you, if you're inclined to do what the Pences do from time to time, if you bow the head, if you bend the knee, it's a good time to do it. And I'm not suggesting I'm not suggesting that you pray for one outcome or another. I love what the founder of our party said. He said, when he was asked where God was in the great Civil War, he said, I don't concern myself as much with whether God is on our side. I concern myself with whether we're on God's side. But I want to encourage you to pray for our country. In these next 24 days, maybe redouble your efforts in that regard. Pray for all the men and women that are out there contesting on behalf of our party and holding up those high ideals that I articulated tonight, that Senator Rubio articulates with such eloquence on the national stage. And in the days ahead, just believe as I do that what's been true for millennia is still true today. That if His people, who are called by His name, will humble themselves and pray, He'll do as He's heard before. He'll hear from heaven, and He'll heal our land. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. So with your hard work and your devotion, we've got work to do, Florida. Let's go get it done, and we'll see you for a great, great victory on November the 8th. Thank you, and God bless you all.